The title of the sermonette today is Clearing the Decks. And my specific purpose statement is to emphasise the need to examine ourselves as we approach the Passover. As we approach the Passover, to look at all things in our life that need looking at. And particularly today, I'm looking at the area of grudges. As we probably know, clearing the decks is a phrase that is used to say that we are ceasing to do something in preparation for a more important task. And that should be our approach as we look forward to the Passover in about 12 days' time on, it's about 12 days from now. Now, in the member letter dated 21st of March by Mr. Michael Link, he stated the following. Not taking the Passover would be a grave mistake. Finding excuses and reasons not to take it based on personal problems, grudges that we may have with one another, which we find difficult letting go of, or whatever the case may be, shows that we aren't strong enough to overcome. Mr. Link mentioned there a phrase that I want to expand on today. He wrote, grudges that we may have with one another, which we find difficult letting go of. We can all have sensitivities, some more than others. In the world, there are many, it seems to me, who are just waiting to be offended in order to give them the opportunity to go into a pre-planned reaction stating their case. I recall many years ago a church member who sadly died. He said to me at that time that he thought the biggest problem in the Church of God was that of holding grudges. He had seen this firsthand. Because we still have carnality, I believe that this may still be true, and that there are some who can still hold grudges, and it's one of the problems that may confront us today. Holding grudges is not only a waste of time, but something that we should never entertain. We should be different. We are to be different to the world. Sensitivities, offences, grudges. A grudge is a feeling of resentment or ill will, or to harbour resentment, and I want to concentrate today on grudges in this brief message. As the saying goes, a grudge is a heavy thing to carry. But it appears to me that unfortunately a lot of heavy things have been carried in the past and may still be being carried by members today. It just shouldn't be. To hold or carry a grudge is holding onto or carrying around a feeling of resentment over some grievance or perceived grievance. This means that it is an unforgiving attitude which always leads to bitterness. As one writer put it, this seems to be a very unfortunate and burdensome way to live. Of course, a grudge is not an actual physical thing, but is something that is carried internally and becomes part of our very way of life. Someone on the internet wrote these interesting comments. Let me read them to you. He wrote, or she wrote, grudges do more damage to you than they'll ever do to the person they're aimed at. So someone did something or said something wrong to you. It happens. Get over it. Seriously, get over it. I guarantee you, everyone you've ever told about it is bored to tears by the story. 9 times out of 10, the grudge is born out of something utterly juvenile or ridiculous anyway. Sure, sometimes it's over something more serious that can be serious or devastating. What is being angry really doing for you? Where is it getting you? How do you get over it? Change your outlook, find a hobby, move, be happy, live your life, be productive, travel, read, write. Go for long walks on a cold day. Meet new people. Go to the movies. Do whatever you need to do to take your life in a new direction and stop letting anger and resentment live in your head rent free. You're not getting anyone back. You're simply stopping yourself from moving forward. It is a totally counterproductive thing to do to let things remain in our mind where wrongs or perceived wrongs linger long in the memory. And if any one of us keeps harping on about what has happened to us in the past and how we were not treated properly or correctly, make no mistake about it, we're holding a grudge. Let go, forget all about it, and move forward would be my advice. The effects of carrying it internally can be seen outwardly in our actions towards others and ourselves. It can harm us and others spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physiologically, or physically, even though it's not visible except by our attitude. It can grow and become bigger as we nurse, nurture, and we feel comfortable with it. Probably because it can make us feel that we are right and others are wrong. And in times, it could completely take over our lives if we're not careful. Our bodies reflect a positive or a negative way of life, and a grudge or a negative attitude will become apparent in our speech and in our actions. We will become negative, bitter, unhappy people. Our faces will show it, and our bodies will suffer from it. I read a story about a nurse anaesthetist who poisoned a patient because she stole her boyfriend in high school 30 years previously. That's pretty serious, but shows what a long-held grudge can lead to in some cases. Just look at how Jesus Christ was treated. If ever there was someone who had reason to hold a grudge, then it was the Savior who was so appallingly treated, but he was perfect and didn't sin and therefore could not and never did hold a grudge. And we are to follow his example. Please turn to Luke 23, starting in verse 32. Luke 23, verse 32. This was Christ's response to false accusations and being killed in what was probably the most barbarous manner possible. Luke 23, verse 32. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals on one on the right hand and the one on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. I suspect that every human being on earth would have reacted in exactly the opposite manner. As human beings, we can lash out at any injustice, whether it's real or imagined. Jesus was so controlled by the Holy Spirit and directed in that area that when in such a dark place, he was able to speak these words and mean them. And there is absolutely no hint of a grudge in what he said, naturally knowing the one who spoke them. Verse 35, and the people stood looking on, and even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming out and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Again, he was reviled and sneered at, and yet there was no retaliation here and no grudges at all. We're told to forgive, and Jesus gave us the best possible example. In Matthew 6, if you'll turn there, we read a statement in the model prayer which is vital for church members to understand and implement. Let us read this very familiar passage, Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here we have in the model prayer the requirements of a true Christian. The request for forgiveness of sin is made here by the true Christian. For continued spiritual growth, we must acknowledge our sins in particular. We are to seek forgiveness in the same manner as we forgive others. But let us be clear that repentance is a prerequisite for forgiveness. We are not required to forgive anyone when they do not repent, when they do not show any remorse or change. And when we forgive others, there cannot be any sign whatsoever of a grudge. The two are totally incompatible. We must not hold grudges. Like all things that stress us out, they eventually wreak havoc on our bodies. The inability to release anger weighs on our minds and weighs down our immune system. Yet just knowing that it's bad for us doesn't make grudges any easier to unload. So how do we learn to forgive? And how should true Christians behave? Well, of course, the Bible shows us the way. So let's look at my third and final scripture today, found in Matthew 5, verses 23 to 24, where we are told how we should behave. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go on your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer the gift. This is clearly talking about reconciliation and not holding grudges, and we are told exactly how we should behave. Now, I tried this approach with someone who had something against me quite a few years ago now, and the response I got for quite a number of years was very disappointing, to say the least. In the end, we did speak and sorted it out, but it took a long time and it took much patience. If you, and I'm talking to you individually and myself too, if you're still holding a grudge against your husband, wife, parents, children, brothers, sisters, or any other family members, work colleagues, friends, neighbours, in fact, anyone, and for whatever reason, God will not hold you blameless. Has anyone done something against you in years past that you still hold on to, you don't or can't seem to forget, and is still there in the back of your mind? If so, and only you can answer that question for yourself, please remember that such an attitude could keep you out of the kingdom of God, if not repented of. If we are harboring any resentment or holding any grudges against anyone, whether a church member or otherwise, we had better think again and take action quickly. It is a pitfall of Satan that he will happily lead us into, and his ways are certainly not in our own best interests. Some possibly may be kidding themselves that they are not holding on to any grudges, and in so doing can kid others. But let us never forget that God knows the heart of each and every one of us, and he is not and never fooled. We must never forget that if we hold grudges against others, and therefore that means that we haven't forgiven them, then God will not forgive our sin. It's just that serious. Jesus said that if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. The way we deal with this problem, if it is a problem to us or for us, will be a clear revealing of our attitude. We are not to hold grudges, grievances, ill will, or resentment, but to have the right attitude towards others. In the Passover service, the following comment is made. No one should participate in this service who is holding a grudge against anyone who has hate in his or her heart towards another. Grudges must be eliminated by everyone in the Church of God, without exception. If you don't hold any grudge against anyone, that's good and acceptable to God. However, if you do hold a grudge against anyone, sort it out quickly and before the Passover, so that you will be able to participate in this service with a clear conscience. Nothing less will do.